ladies and gentlemen, please welcome D-Tech Smith and Steve Mix. You are now entering
the MegaCast.
What's up, Ted?
Mr. Mix.
Can you hear everything?
I can. Can we hear ourselves? Can you hear you?
I can hear me.
All right.
Can hear you. Can you hear Luke Wilson?
I cannot hear Luke.
Me neither.
Is he here?
Let's check and see. Nope. He still hasn't read the text. We talked yesterday. He's fired up to join us.
You talked to him on the phone?
No, we texted.
All right.
That to me is talking. I don't talk to anyone.
No, I know, but that's why I try to be careful and say I texted people.
Yeah, I think it just sounds cooler if I say I talked to him. But
you could see
right.
My excitement. Like, you actually talked to him on the phone?
No, I didn't talk to him. I just we texted rather quickly back and forth and set this all up. And he said he was in, and he was fired up. Now, I've not done a lot of stuff with Zoom, but I have it all set up. I imagine he could just, like, when he clicks on it, he'll just join the meeting.
Right. Did you put a password on it or is it open?
No, it's open.
Oh, yeah. Then you click on it. It should just say join with video, join with sound.
Yeah. So, you know what? We'll just do our show and hope for the best. I was feeling really optimistic yesterday. But, you know, a lot can change in one day with Luke Wilson. That's the best part about Luke. We just don't know.
It's funny, man. Like, I've been running those Friday night Zooms for so long that, like, I'm very good with Zoom.
Right.
Like, to me, it's pretty friendly. But, like, yeah, people that never use it get thrown off by it.
I use it every once in a while. So whenever I have to do something that requires me starting the meeting, I have, like, that moment of panic. Like, I hope I'm doing it right. Meanwhile, it's like meant for dummies.
Yeah.
And I'm a dummy. And I should be able to do this just fine.
It is kind of funny, too. Like, our buddy the mayor, like, he's a lawyer.
Right.
So he was the only person that I had ever heard of that had this Zoom before the pandemic started.
Right, which I still believe Zoom started the pandemic.
You know what? That's a theory I might get on board with.
I'm not a QAnon guy, but I'm a Zoom-anon guy.
Zoom-anon. We should start that, Steve. Zoom-anon.
Zoom-anon. Oh, you didn't hear? Zoom started the coronavirus.
Yeah, Illuminati. What about Zoom-anati?
Zoom-anati.
You know, that's what I'm talking about. Did you get chicken today?
Yeah, I did.
Oh, nice. All right. Yeah.
Two slices. Breasts.
Oh, good stuff.
Yes.
I missed a couple weeks. So I'm like, all right, I'm going to get some today.
I was on the fence. I didn't have a slice of pizza last night. Sometimes I was doing some wrestling stuff, getting ready for a big show next weekend. All right. Not this Saturday, but the following Saturday, I'm in Bellingham.
Ooh.
Big match for 5cc wrestling. Just type 5cc wrestling in the thing. Limited capacity. I think they're doing 50%. They're doing all the COVID stuff. All the wrestlers have been vaccinated. So everything's like, you know, we're doing everything above board. It's not like some...
above ground.
Above ground. I hope everyone will stay above ground. Except for Danger Dean when he steps in the ring with me, brother.
What time does a wrestling event start on a Saturday?
I'm not sure, Ted. I think it's 7 p.m. These are things I need to figure out, but I will, brother. Danger Dean, former radio guy. Actually worked here. He was working part of the promotions team. Dean, I don't know if you ever dealt with him. Awesome dude. Did morning radio and radio in Denver as well. Just a great guy. And he's also a wrestler. He's been doing it for way longer than me. But him and I are going head-to-head. I'm super pumped.
When was he on the street team? Like while we were here?
Right before COVID hit.
Oh, yeah. Then I do know him.
Yeah.
Yeah, of course.
Nice voice.
God, you know, all right. You know what? I used to like him.
Not anymore?
No.
No. Danger Dean, I'll show you what Danger's all about.
Yeah.
Dean's awesome. I'm super pumped to work with him.
Do you ever, like, pick somebody up and yell something before you slam them down?
More often than not, yes.
All right.
Like, grunts and rahs. Like, I drop an elbow, and while I drop it, I yell verified.
Nice. Yeah. Well, people know that he's from Denver.
I don't know if this crowd will.
All right.
Yeah.
I feel like it'd be awesome if you're just like, from Mile High, boom.
Well, if they introduce him as being from Denver, I'll have to pay attention to that. I'll keep that in my mind if it does happen.
Yeah.
I'll body slam him just for you. I'll say, this is for D. Ted Smith.
Yeah, I ain't seen a Bronco this ugly since John Elway.
Yeah.
I don't know why I'm hating on John Elway now.
I don't know either. Right. But F him.
Yeah.
And F Danger Dean.
It's the real Orange Crush. See, this is the problem. I couldn't be a good wrestler as I put in so many sports references. Like, the wrestling fans, man.
Right.
They're not a psycho about football like you are.
Right. They don't like that kind of sports. Sports entertainment.
Sports entertainment.
AJ Francis got a big had a big debut in a tag match yesterday on NXT. I haven't watched it yet, but I saw some tweets about it. So that's pretty awesome. Finally, now he's wrestling in the ring.
And I was on the Twitters this morning, so I saw that there's a new show for AEW.
Yes, that he hosts.
Yeah.
The Hidden Treasure show.
No, that's A&E. Isn't AEW the other wrestling?
Yes. Sorry. I misunderheard you. I'm just... I just keep looking for Luke, and I missed a word. Yeah, you're right. They're moving to TBS.
So I saw a tweet this morning that says, what happens to the TNT belt when they move to TBS?
Oh, my gosh, yeah.
And I didn't get it. And then I saw Rampage was trending, so I was like, Rampage Jackson's wrestling? And then I was like, no, that's the name of the
show. That should be their secondary show. It's going to be Rampage.
Right.
Yeah, they're moving everything over from, I think, next year.
Uh-oh.
Oh, it looks like someone's connecting.
Do we should be able to let him in.
Oh, I think he's in. Is that Luke?
What's up,
brother?
How are we doing?
We're good. How are you doing?
Dude, I'm sorry I'm late.
We're very upset with you.
We were just trashing you before
I realized what time it was. I was like, holy shit.
Luke, don't make me do work. I got to edit these curses.
No doubt. How are we doing?
Oh, doing really well, my friend. How about you? Look at you. Of course, our texture.
There it is. I couldn't see.
I got to take a picture.
I couldn't see you guys a sec, but now I'm good.
All right. Nice. There we go. Look at Luke with the long locks. Dude, it's been so long. We've seen you.
I was going to put it up, but I figured, you know, if I'm on, I got to let it flow.
Yes.
I saw something yesterday, Luke. You're the only friend I have that can confirm this. Are workouts tougher in a man bun?
No. No, I got to change my name. I don't know why my name says ETS Windsor.
I figured it was a Canadian thing.
Give me one second. We're not live right now, right?
No, we're just doing that. The people aren't going to see the video anyway, so they're just going to hear the audio. So you can keep...
Oh, okay. So we're good then.
Yeah, ETS Windsor, that could work.
That'll survive. All right.
ETS Windsor.
How are you guys doing? You guys are doing well, though?
Dude, just living the dad life. Ted and I had a child since we last left you. It's been pretty special.
Love that.
My dog had to have all of her teeth removed.
All of them?
Yeah, dude.
How does she eat?
Well, we're going to learn as we go along, Ted, because it just happened. Just 2 days ago, we had to bring her in to get her teeth clean, and she's a small dog, and I guess that's an issue with small dogs. Their teeth get dirty, messed up, and like we've had a few removed in the past when we've done the cleanings. But we brought her in, and then we get the call from the vet, and it's like, hey, she's like stage 4, like gum disease. We got to remove all. And I was like, well, what the hell? Yeah, apparently dogs are resilient, though. She says, yeah, at some point, she's still going to be able to eat like hard food. They just swallow it whole and digest it fine. That's like what dogs do. But I was like, it's just weird, man, because now she can't keep her tongue in her mouth. So she's constantly like sticking her tongue out at us.
Yeah, that's kind of f***ed up.
Yes.
Kind of feel bad.
You know, I did too, but she seems like actually in a way better mood. I got to imagine she's been in a lot of pain and we didn't even know.
Love that. I mean, I guess that's a positive then.
And at least now we don't have to worry about her biting our child. So I think that's like, glasses half full. I don't know.
Oh,
man, you're going to have to edit the hell out of this.
I know, Luke.
Luke, stop cussing, man. You're making Steve do extra work.
I got to bleep these.
Oh, you do? There's no cussing allowed?
No, not for our radio station. Gets mad if we have curses on the podcast.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
That's lame.
I thought you were going to say
that. I thought for sure you were going to say that's
effed up. I was like, oh, here we go.
I was going to. To be honest with you, I was going to drop an F-bomb. But then I'm like, you know what? He's going to have to bleep it out anyways. I'll just let it ride.
I was like, why you hate me, Ted?
All right, Luke, I have a question. Are you playing rugby or what? What are we doing here?
I want to say I'm attempting to play rugby here, Ted. I was kind of that ignorant ass, just thought he could go and just play at other professional sport, you know?
Oh, the
and
Tebow.
To be honest with you, there's a lot of There's a lot of rules in rugby that I've literally never picked up a rugby ball in my life.
Uh-huh.
So there's like a whole other side of rugby as far as like technique and rules go that I'm better at now, but it's been a long process to say the least.
I don't know much about rugby other than in college, we used to party with the girls' rugby team and those girls like would just throw down. Like they just love to drink. And every time we'd hang out with them, they would want to start like, what was it, a scrum to start off the... and we just start off like drinking that way.
I mean, that sounds pretty legendary. I think drinking is part of the culture in rugby, yeah, which is kind of a cooler deal, especially for a pro sport. Because, you know, a lot of pro sports are pretty anti drinking now, maybe not back in the day.
Right, right.
But rugby, it's definitely ingrained in like the culture. I mean, it's weird, but it's a very gentleman-like game as far as like the unwritten rules. And then all of a sudden it's like the gameplay itself is just like absolute carnage. So it's kind of weird, that like balance of, you know, it's like everybody's very polite and very gentleman or gentle lady, like, I guess, and whatever you want to call it, you know, and then all of a sudden it's like this game starts, it's mayhem. And then it's like, okay, everyone's friends again. And then the party starts and it's mayhem. So I guess there's a lot of extremes here. You know, you're going from one end to the other pretty quickly.
Yeah. I mean, everything I know, I don't know a ton about rugby either, but I do know it's a drinking culture. So I'm always like, yeah, I'll go watch rugby.
I mean, it's fun, man. The Seawolves here too. I mean, the guys are great. Have you guys been to a game? They play at Starfire.
I haven't yet. Our friend is the mascot, Rucky. So I keep wanting to go out to show some support for Rucky, which is kind of random. But our buddy Red the Chicken Man, you know him, Ted, I believe.
Yeah, yes. Yeah.
And he's, well, spoiler alert, but he's also Rucky, the Seawolf.
Yeah, so I'll be honest, I've been to a few games now. Obviously, I've been practicing, but dude, the games are like, I mean, if I was a sports fan in Seattle, I would come check it out, man. I mean,
really,
the last home game, I mean, there's just some bloodbath hits, man. Like, part of it, I get, if you don't know the rules, it's probably a little hard to follow. But I mean, it's a violent, violent game, which is kind of fun to watch.
I just love the way you describe it, because like most people in America are just like, football is violent, and you're like, ah, football's football. This is violence.
Was it weird?
Yeah, the difference I would say is, and you know, playing a little bit of both now, I actually think rugby is safer from a major injury standpoint. I mean, obviously you can get a major injury in rugby, but for the most part, there's no blocking in rugby, so everything is kind of happening in front of you.
All right.
So there's not like a lot of the football injuries I find are people falling into the back of your legs, et cetera, et cetera.
Mm-hmm.
Where it's like in rugby, there's really no situation that I can think of where someone would dive into the back of someone else's legs, incidentally or not. You just shouldn't, that situation shouldn't show up. But to kind of go back to what you're saying there, Ted, I think why rugby is more violent is football has a ton of big collisions, a lot of handwork, you know, on the offensive and defensive line. Rugby, it's just like, I mean, you get in some of these, the rucks, you know, you get tackled, there's no whistle. I mean, the ball's live. So it's like, I mean, if you're really watching in, it's like the ball's on the ground, whoever got tackled's on the ground, and then there's, you know, potentially two guys from each team just taking a 5-yard sprint at each other and trying to smash them to either protect the ball or take the ball back. I mean, name another sport where that happens. I don't know. I think it's just wild. Imagine playing American football and like you get tackled, and instead of like spot the ball, go back to the huddle, it's like it's a free for all now.
More guys come in.
You know.
Was it weird to walk into the locker room? Like, here's Luke Wilson, guy's been on the Seahawks, played in the NFL. And did any of the guys kind of have like that side-eyed look to you? Or like, you know what I mean? Like, sometimes people are like, how dare you come into our world?
Yeah, maybe a few, but yeah. I think, I mean, you guys know me. I'm a bit of a character, man. And now I stroll with a boombox every day. So I think I've been generally accepted as one of the boys. And to be completely honest, they don't have a locker room either. These guys are just out here for the love of the game.
Yeah.
So we get, we put our boots on. I got to change all the sayings, you know, football, it's cleats, rugby, it's boots. We put our boots on in the stands and just kind of stroll out there. So, yeah, but there's some good banter too. Another thing, I don't know if you guys are familiar with this, but some of the banter from like the UK, I mean, I don't even know what language some of these guys are speaking. I mean, it's English.
It is, but it's a different slang. I only know some of it from being a soccer fan. But like, boots.
I mean, I love it. I think it's hilarious.
It's a lot more, what's the other one I love? It's the blatant use of the C word.
Yep, that's in there. You might have to edit.
Go ahead.
This
go.
Part, sorry.
That's fine.
But the word piss for them is like the most multifaceted word, apparently. So piss is a slang for alcohol, but it can also be like drinking, but it can also be like, I'm very angry. Mm-hmm. But I mean, you know, I've been learning new phrases like, hey man, we're going to have a proper night on the piss. You know, it's a big night out drinking.
Right. You know? But if I'm busting your balls, then I'm taking the piss out of you.
Yes. Yeah. See, that's where, you know, it gets a little gray for me. I'm not great at the, distinguishing which is which, but, I've really adopted the term piss. I'm not going to lie.
I like
it.
So what made you, was it, did they reach out to you first or did you reach out to them to say, hey, I'm kind of interested in checking this out?
So I work out at a gym in Renton and I'm working out training for football. And, they also, the team trains here. And, so we go, the team trains here and they're like, you know, you just kind of get to know guys from coming in every day. And, they were like, yo, you should put on a kit or uniform. Again, I don't know which terms to use here, the proper rugby terms or the American football. So I put it on and like put a joking photo out there and they're like, why don't you come to practice? And to be completely honest with you, the schedule's not too heavy. Like it's not the NFL schedule during the week is a lot of hours here. It's not. So I'm like, you know what, man, like kind of be good cross training. And then, it's taken off from there. So now I've just immersed myself in the, Seattle Seawolves vibe, man. But I'm telling you, listen, especially you guys, man, if you get a Sunday night away from the kids, I know that's probably a big night. I would check it out at Starfire because I mean, it's pure carnage out there and the boys are banging. I mean, they're getting after each other.
What to make a trip.
Yeah. I mean, it's not really my kids. I mean, it's pretty easy for me.
I mean, it's mine, but I mean, any excuse to get away for a night sounds like a good idea.
Yeah, I was like, Luke, it's still just me. I'm like, yeah, brother, I'll be there.
No doubt. No doubt.
So my wife's gonna be like, all of a sudden you're going to a lot of these Seawolves games. I'm like, yeah, sorry, sick you with the kid, but got to go support Luke. I mean, what do you want from me?
No question.
So what else has been going on since, I mean, we haven't seen you in forever. So, I mean, you said, I saw that you said you were working out at a gym and we see the pictures and the videos. That's Lucas' gym, right?
I was gonna say that is.
So he also, when Becky Lynch was, you know, WWE superstar, when she was in town, I did some stuff with her. We went to a Pearl Jam studio and checked out a bunch of stuff. But then afterwards, I had to drop her off, and it was at his gym. So I guess she works out there when she's in town as well.
Yeah, this spot is, it's in the heart of Renton. And honestly, I've kind of lived in and out of gyms in different cities for the last, you know, better part of a decade. And it's pretty special here, not to get all sentimental, you know. You guys know me, I'm more of the joking type, but he's a very, very incredibly knowledge strength coach. And it's very rare in that industry to have a guy like a lot of the strength coaches are what I like to call meat sticks, you know, so they just like put more weight on the bar,
right?
Push it harder. You're like, dude, this, like, what on God's green earth, you know? There's like, anyways. And then you kind of get the opposite, which is like you'll get the extreme nerd strength coach who's like, you know what? When you're doing this right here, I want you to like focus on your pinky toe pressing out on a 45 degree angle. And you're like, yeah, that's where Luca is like all time, where he can do both and has like a very great, great program. And I think that, like you said, Becky and there's a couple Seahawk guys that roll in and out of here. Mm-hmm. The rugby team's obviously here. It's a pretty special gym. They've got a bunch of great members. It's kind of like a really cool community. So I've really enjoyed it. It's my first official off season here. I don't know if you guys have heard, but Canada's attempting transition from democracy to communism.
Oh, so I have all my Canadian friends. And I mean, like here in America, obviously we have, you know, conflicting sides of politics and opinions on presidents and that. All of my Canadian friends seem to just despise Trudeau.
Well, I think if you would have been pre-COVID, there was a mix.
Right.
But
right.
At this point, like even if you're, and I get America is riddled with political hostility, but I mean, my hometown is in like stay at home order, like handing out tickets if you walk outside.
Jeez.
Like I heard one yesterday that four people rented an Airbnb and went to go fishing. So like, I don't know, but I feel like fishing is a pretty COVID-free, you know, environment. It's outside. There's only four people.
I was fishing, you know, 3 weeks ago.
Yes. And the Airbnb neighbor called the cops on them because they're encouraging ratting. That's a big thing right now in Canada. Rat on your neighbor. Okay. So the Airbnb called. These are like people that I know. Called them.
Jesus.
Called the police. Police showed up. $900 each kid.
Damn.
It's like.
Wow.
I mean, I don't want to sound like a complete maniac here, but it's like. It's a little aggressive. Let's just say that. It's a little aggressive.
So you can't even go back into Canada or are you...
I can because I'm a citizen, but I'm worried that, you know, if I don't obey the rules, AKA if I decide to step outside for a breath of fresh air, that I'll be in trouble. So I'm just, you know, I like Seattle, man. I'm chilling here. I love it here. It's been good.
Yeah.
I like how you brought that back. Like it's a real serious thing. But anyhow, Seattle's dope.
Yeah, no one's giving you a ticket.
Seattle's
no
great.
One's
I'm walking
you out.
Around. You know, things are good.
And it's funny, is the rest of the country thinks we're crazy up here.
Yeah, I mean.
Like my buddy's down in Austin. He's like, yeah, Austin's back.
Yeah.
They're not worried.
I think a lot of places are back from what I've been told. Not that I've been in a lot of places, you know what I'm saying? But. What was a bit strange, though, and I always wonder, like, maybe you guys can help me out here, but, like, I mean, I have Twitter. I'm not, like, a crazy Twitter person. But the one thing that beyond all, like, the polarizing views, what I always wonder is, like, who starts the rumor? And what I mean by that is, like, I remember a couple weeks ago, they were like, yo, we're rolling back from phase 3 to phase 2. And I was like, oh, no, saying so. Like,
mm-hmm.
And then all of a sudden it was like, yo, man, we're not actually doing that. We're going to pause phase 3. And I'm like, I didn't know you could put pause on these things. You know what I'm saying? I thought we just would stay in phase 3, but I like the term pause. Great, great term. But, and then all of a sudden it's like, I read something the other day and it's like, yo, man, we're going to be 100% open on June 30th, barring, you know, X, Y, and Z. So, and, you know, everyone was excited, but for me, that kind of begged the thought of what or who spread the rumor that we were going to roll back because mm-hmm. it wasn't true.
Dude, I think about that a lot with the internet. It's like sometimes we'll talk about something even on our show and like you'll get texts or messages that conflict what the other person says, but each person says it with such conviction. I'm like, where are we getting, like, I wish there was like a research where we could get factual information because I feel like people are just making S up as we go along and then people are buying it if it comes off confident enough.
Well, yeah, but I think too, like, I don't know that I would call that one a rumor. I think somebody from the governor's office was like, yeah, we're going to roll back. And then, like, no numbers went up. So they were like, screw it. We'll open up. Right?
So
there's no set game plan.
Yeah.
But who's the snitch then, Ted? Who's the guy who went to the media and was like, yo, we're going to roll back? It's like, you didn't know we were going to roll back. We might have been rolling back. And why did you have to tell everyone that?
Well,
like, why did you have to, like, you know what I'm saying? It'd be like, guys, I'm signing with a CFL team. It's like, well, I'm not actually signing with CFL team, but I'm just going to tell you that so you can tweet about it.
Oh, I just did.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's right.
Have fun in Saskatchewan there, Luke.
And then it just drives like this wild amount of anger towards one another. And I'm like, this isn't even true to begin with. And now people are arguing about it.
Yeah. I wonder how we're going to look back in like 20, 30 years on like what this period of time was like for all of us, because I just feel like there's going to be a lot of people looking back on it and just be like, wow, we all collectively lost our minds on both sides.
Yeah, I'll be honest with you though, Steve. I've got a wild conspiracy theory about 20, 30 years from now that probably won't make the powers that be won't let it air on here. So maybe afterwards I can explain it. But I don't think we're going to be writing any history books in 20, 30 years, if you know what I'm saying, because somebody else is going to be writing them for us. That's all I'm going to say. Take it how you want it, man.
Yeah. Well, I mean, that's the story about history. The victor gets to write it.
Exactly, Ted. I got a feeling that the Roman Empire is falling.
I mean, look, I love history. We know this one through the years.
And we already started,
day, man.
And we already started the conspiracy theory that Zoom has started the coronavirus right before we started the podcast with you.
Love that.
As we're on
big win for Zoom.
Yeah.
I mean, before it, no one even knew the hell who they were.
Yeah. Yeah. Speaking of conspiracies, do you guys mind if I just keep on this rant?
Of course.
Yeah, go ahead.
Are you guys into the whole cryptocurrency stuff?
I've even tried reading things like cryptocurrency for dummies, and I'm just too stupid to really get what the hell's going on. I don't know if Ted is.
I have friends that have been in it for a while and this and that. I know enough, but I am not invested in it.
So I guess what I'm confused is, I don't know if you guys saw, but there's a crypto crash today.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I'm like, dude, how does something that's not attached to any value crash by 50%? How is that possible? Like, you know, you think of 08, it's like the market tanked because of the housing market. You know, every other crash, it's usually like the market tank because of this. Mm-hmm. It's like crypto crash because of what? Like, how does crypto crash? Because everybody sold at the same time? Like, if so, I need to get on that Reddit thread so that I know when I should sell.
Well, I thought today, like, the crash was because China wasn't going to accept it.
Is that what they said?
I was on Twitter before I came in here, but I haven't seen it. Like,
Ted, maybe I don't know cryptocurrencies, but I thought that one of the points of cryptocurrencies was that it didn't, like, the market, for example, reacts to news. It's like, how does a cryptocurrency react to news? It's literally the algorithms are supposed to be able to be like, yo, this is like a stable currency that's not affected by nonsense. At least so I thought.
Right. But remember, it went down like 2 weeks ago because Tesla was like, we're not going to take Bitcoin anymore.
Yeah, I saw that. I have a very strange relationship with Elon, to be honest with you. I love the guy one moment. I want to strangle him the next.
I think a lot of people probably would agree with that. Yeah.
I mean, that kind of sums him up.
There are moments where I'm like, this guy seems like the best guy ever with his 420 and 69 jokes. And then I'll be like, oh, my gosh, this guy seems like he's the making of an evil villain.
No question. Yeah. I mean, he tanked the entire market for a day. And I'm like, you know, man, maybe put like a PSA out. Like, hey, guys, in an hour, I'm going to put a really absurd tweet about Bitcoin out. Mm-hmm. Sell now, you know, like, I mean, it's wild market manipulation. Obviously, it's crypto, so it's not governed. But I'm like, man, this guy's on a heater, to say the least.
Yeah. And I mean, ideally, right, it's one central currency. So that stuff wouldn't affect it as much. But
yeah.
I will say this. I don't think it's going to go away. And I don't, you know.
Oh, it's not going away.
Yeah. Like, it's crashed before. Like, today was probably one of the first days I thought about buying in.
That's very fair. That's very fair.
But I don't understand how. So, I mean, what can I buy with the cryptocurrency? Like, you know what I mean? That's the part that I still have a hard time understanding. Like, I can't go to a store and, like, say, hey, here's my cryptocurrency. Can I buy this jacket? Or is it more like a stock in a sense?
Well,
I have to cash it out and then get actual money. That's why I'm just completely ignorant to cryptocurrency.
I mean, ideally, that's why it was such a big deal when Tesla said we're not going to accept it anymore.
Right.
Because then it kind of devalued it. So if it works the way it's planned to, eventually you would be able to just use it to buy.
Just go to a store.
But you would only need a small, minute part of a coin. If that makes sense.
Do I have to cut it? Like, I don't understand.
Yeah, right. See.
Then you're gonna have to get on the dark web. I mean, I can't.
Right.
No, I'm with you. Like, my one thing about Bitcoin, I've got a few of the altcoins, but I'm just like, even the altcoins, it's like, I mean, let's say Bitcoin was accepted as a form of currency worldwide, you know, one day. It's like, imagine having to go to the store and being like, yo, can I get like you know, you're at the gas station on a road trip. You're like, hey, you stop in there, you get a couple waters and a Gatorade. It's like, yeah, that'll be 0.000312 Bitcoin. And you're like, I mean, think of the math on this stuff, man. Like, is that really what we want to do? Like, can we not just get, yo, that'll be, you know, can we not just go on 0.5s? I mean, at this rate, like, let's say Bitcoin gets to 100,000, it's going to be like, you know, five zeros removed before you get a small purchase.
Mm-hmm.
I mean,
maybe there'll be another coin for that.
Well, you see people pay with their phones already. So I just assume the technology would be there. You just be like, all right.
You just flash your phone at it and it just takes the money out. I mean,
think about being an accountant for Bitcoin, though. Somebody's got to write this stuff down, man.
And what about the gentlemen's clubs? How the hell are you going to be able to make it rain with Bitcoins?
Now, see, that's a question.
Yeah. Do you have to just buy little random pieces of paper with the Bitcoins and then you just have a ridiculous amount of just paper like Monopoly money?
That, and then the next thing too is, I mean, we've all heard the whole pizza story. So it's like, let's say you buy a pack of gum with Bitcoin. When it has a value like that, I mean, does that mean that in 15 years that pack of gum is going to be worth 10 grand? I don't know.
Did you chew it?
This is the same with like
the great question.
I feel this way even with stocks. Like I have all my friends like, oh, you got to get in on this, got to get in on this. And I try and do all the research and I'm just like, I don't even know what to believe. I don't know what's, you know, because you go on the internet, then you read like on these Facebook groups and it's just like today AMC took a dip. And so people are losing their minds about that. And then other people are like, this is a good thing. We needed to take a dip. I'm like, man, just let me know when I'm rich because I don't understand what I'm doing.
Yeah. Did AMC take a dip, by the way? Because I was in that fight for the good fight.
Yeah, it took it went from like 14 to 12, give or take.
That hurts.
Yeah, for some people, some of my friends, it probably hurts a lot. But they're rather optimistic that it's going to turn back around. And we just got to hold on for dear life, Luke.
I mean, I'm going to be honest with you. Even if it doesn't, just the principle of that whole thing, there is no way I was ever selling. And I'll keep it 35 years from now. I mean, I'll sell if it gets to 100, like they say. But what I'm saying is the principle was like, you know, everybody against the Wall Street hedge funds.
Screw the hedge funds.
So I joined the good fight, man. And I'm not going to lie. I'm like, I don't care if I lose all this money. I'm not selling it.
I do like
it. I won't let them win.
It would be a great moment in our lives if we were a part of something where it did take down the hedge funds. Just a bunch of people on Reddit all gathering together on Facebook groups and all that. And we made something. Yeah, dude, if it goes up to 100,000, man, I'm getting myself a pool in my backyard. You better believe I'm selling that stuff.
No question.
Yeah.
No question.
That's just like, I remember I told that to my wife. I'm like, hey, they're trying to make, a few of my friends are saying we should do this. She's like, well, what do we stand to make out of this? I'm like, all right. If you believe what some of the optimistic people believe, we could turn this $100 into $1 million. And she's like, yeah, let's do that. That sounds like a good idea. I was like, okay, just make sure you're okay with that. And then it just then you get sucked into it. And then you're like, well, I'll put another hundred in. And it's like, now I'm like a little bit more
dangerous. Yes.
Well, it's gambling.
And it shows just how greedy you, like, oh, well, $5 million's not enough. I mean, I'd rather make $10 million, Ted, so I should double up on what I've put in. You know, I mean, that's just kind of, I have friends that have, like, you know, like 4,000 shares into this. And I'm just like, man.
Well, I mean, that's the other thing with crypto. Some people, 3.5 years ago had crazy amounts in their account, but they didn't cash out.
Right.
So, I mean, that's the other roller coaster ride you're dealing with that stuff. But again, I would keep it.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not going to lie, Ted. I might have been one of those guys, man.
I mean, I saw Russell.
Okun.
Like, he said today, he's like, I am not selling, like, whatever. Keep it.
And he gets paid in Bitcoin.
Yeah, or it was part of his contract.
So I had put some money into a variety of coins in 2017. And in 2 weeks, I had a 200% gain. And I'm like, oh my God, I'm going to be rich forever, man. Like, this thing will never end, blah, blah, blah. Within the next year, I was down 98%. And I just let it sit. I'm like, all right, well, you know, it's so low now, it's not even worth selling.
Yeah.
And then it shot back this year. that I was up quite a bit. And then with this morning's crash, you know, I might have just done exactly what Steve said and been like, well, I'm going to reinvest. But I unfortunately, why the crypto market really crashed was the day after anything that I invest in, the next day it's bound to crash. So, you know, I put some money in. The next day, Elon tweeted. The next week, crypto crashes. You know, it's pretty par for the course of my own investment advice.
Right. I feel like somehow Steve and I can make money off of you doing that all the time.
Yes. No, I was telling my boys, like, from now on, any stock that I pick, I'll put in my fellows group chat, and you guys just do the polar opposite, and you're bound to make money.
How'd you get rich? We just didn't listen to Luke.
Yeah, the opposite.
All right, we got Luke Wilson with us. Ted, why don't we take a quick break? Luke, just
now?
Hold on for it. I know.
All right.
We talked enough money. Let's talk some football when the MegaCast returns.
These two guys are still hungover from the weekend. Ted and Steve will be back when the MegaCast returns.
The CDC says fully vaccinated Americans no longer need to wear masks. Good news for some, but for others, it's mask withdrawal.
I haven't used teeth whiteners. My teeth look like corn nuts.
I have a galaxy of acne scars.
I better get an appointment to wax my mustache. I look like Tom Selleck.
I'm wanted by the FBI.
If you're suffering from mask withdrawal, talk to your doctor. They can prescribe something that will help. Yeah, you guessed it. It's from Pfizer. It's okay to take the mask off. Don't suffer alone. Put your best face forward.
They are two men in their 40s that just had a slumber party together. Losers. The MegaCast is back.
All right, we're back. MegaCast. We are here with Luke Wilson via Zoom.
Luke.
All right, well, let's talk about other things. You, we were talking a couple weeks ago. You ruined one of my favorite TV shows.
Hard Knocks?
Yeah. I was like, man, I like that show. And then I saw you talk about it. I was like, son of a.
Yeah, it's trash, man.
Yeah.
Ted's trash, dude. I mean, I'm with you because I've seen some stuff and I'm like, yo, Hard Knocks is cool, but like, it's just not. I mean, they just put a fake narrative for the majority of it. I mean, some of it's real, obviously, but a lot of it is. And then it also gets strange because the coaches have the final say of like what can be cut and not cut.
Mm-hmm.
Like there's a bunch of rules like that, but I didn't really get into it, but maybe on this podcast, it'll be a little more lenient. I think that interview you're talking about, Ted, was on Q13. Does that sound right?
Yeah.
So they were probably a little more buttoned up. No offense, guys, but I feel like I could be a little less buttoned up here.
We're a sloppy mess. That's fine. Yeah,
that's cool.
Yeah. So to reiterate what I was saying in that was once I got burned on that whole situation, I would wait for like really pristine moments and like grab the boom mic or like shout really loud so the boom mic would pick it up or like just blow up the whole scene and like say like absurd things about whoever they're interviewing having like an STD, you know, say something stupid about I knew the producer's name. So I'm like, I was talking to them. I'm like, listen, man, I mean, they all thought it was like funny, but I think at the same point, it got like to the point where I was just an annoying turd the entire time because right. It was all like, right. I tried to sabotage the show as much as humanly possible. I mean, maybe I'm a bad guy. Maybe I'm a bad guy.
Well, you know, you get burned, you want to burn somebody back.
So I mean, it wasn't even that I got burned. It was the way that they did it. And then when I went up to them, they were like, that wasn't you. And I'm like, wasn't me? Like, are you guys serious? It was a 5'10", 185-pound African-American receiver. Okay? Like, I don't look anything like this guy. Right. I'm sorry, but... You guys clearly edited this whole thing and made it up. Like, you cannot tell me that one person in your editing studios or your film was like, hey, man, this probably isn't a good idea.
Yeah, right. Like, that's probably not him.
I don't know. It was unfortunate, but my boys did get to make fun of me a bunch. You know, getting, that was the first time I was cut from a football team or from a sports team in quite a while, to be honest. And having that done on national television was actually a little more enjoyable than I thought it would be. How you know, funny. Everyone was like, dude, I'm really sorry. I'm like, ah, it's kind of funny. Like, if it happened to someone, it should happen to me. So I thought that was part was kind of funny. And the next week in San Francisco, I kind of felt like a bit of a celebrity for the first time in my life. And I'll explain to you what I mean by that. I was in, does anyone know the big park in San Francisco? Oh, like gosh.
Golden Gate Park?
Not Golden Gate. There's another one everyone goes to.
Oh, is it by those famous houses?
That I've been to that one, not that house. Not there's one. I mean, maybe there's more than one.
You talking about the Full House house?
Yeah, there's like a famous park that looks over at the house, like those row homes and stuff.
Yeah, oh. You guys can still hear me, right?
Oh yeah. We can still hear you.
Okay, I'm looking this up because I feel like it'll help us out. Not Golden Gate, Mission Dolores.
All right.
So I stroll into Mission Dolores and this dude comes up to me. And again, I don't know how offside I'm allowed to be, but he's like, dude, you're the guy from Hard Knocks. I'm like, what's up, man? And he's like, come hang with the crew. So I'm like, I'm now known as the guy from Hard Knocks, right. You know? And he's later tells me that he's tripping acid, but he gave me one of the coolest lines of all time. And I use this all the time. Mick, sorry, you have to edit this all out. It's just,
good. No, okay. No. This is completely fine. Trust me. Nice.
Okay.
No. I just think it's hilarious. So, the guy's tripping on acid recognizes you. And it's like, hang out.
It's like, you're the guy from Hard Knocks. I'm like, oh, great. So later on, I was not doing acid for the record, but I was with my buddy. And we're in this park and there's a Quidditch game going on in Run Corner. There's some wild things going on in this park. But a male and a female come up and they're selling cookies. And the guy on acid is like drooling at this point. And he's looking, he's like, hey, and he's screaming at these cookie people. And he's like, are those weed cookies? And I'm like, well, I don't know why you're yelling at these poor people, man. They just came over to offer cookies. And they're like, no. And it was for it was actually cookies for charity. And she's like, no, but they're for this charity. And I'm like, I don't think he cares for the charity in this moment, lady, but it's all good. She's like, oh, okay, never mind. So I was confused because I'm like, you know, we're in a public park. It's a Sunday afternoon. I'm like, do people really come around and, you know, sell drugs in the middle of the park via, you know, weed cookies or not? And I was like, did you really think those were weed cookies or are you like trying to be funny? And he goes, yeah, man, what do you mean? He's looking at me like I'm the idiot.
Right.
I'm like, I don't know, bro. I've only been in San Francisco for a little bit. And he looks at me and goes, bro, I buy my shrooms here on Venmo. I go, first off, that's pretty iconic. Secondly, then he looks at me and he goes, yeah, you haven't been here very long, have you? I go, no. He goes, San Francisco, you want to know something about this place? I go, sure. He goes, this place is lawless. And he just stomps off and leaves. Like the
what?
Like the altar. Yes. I'll never forget that, man. I really enjoyed so I use the term lawless all the time now. You know, especially if there's like a COVID free-ish, or let's say there's a place that is not COVID sensitive, you know, I'll just look around and be like, bro. This place is lawless, you know?
I mean, Ted and I have had an experience in San Francisco that involved hallucinogenics, so we kind of do understand what this guy's talking about.
I mean, dude, so you guys get it, man. I was shocked. I mean, it was no holds bar up there, man. You could do whatever the hell, Sunday at Mission Dolores Park, man. You could do whatever the hell you wanted.
Yeah, but
you probably couldn't kill anyone. That's not true. You probably couldn't kill anyone. But short of that, you probably could do whatever the hell you wanted.
I pissed on a cop car yelling, I own this city, or we own this city, while on mushrooms. And I didn't get in any trouble for it.
Because it's lawless. Yeah. You didn't know. You didn't know at the time. But it's lawless.
Yeah.
I was like, I almost got stabbed by a piece of a broken bottle from a homeless dude and had to encounter the man.
Ted, I'm telling, this was in San Francisco, wasn't it?
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Ted threw the homeless man about like half of a block distance because he tried to kill us with a bottle.
Yeah, that's fair. This was my.
I always forget that story until we bring it up.
It's always the most.
I love it.
Yeah, we
cities. I mean, it's mayhem.
We went to a bowl game. What was it? Maryland
and Oregon State,
and I brought mushrooms to it. And so we took mushrooms, and then we were like, well, we need to get some weed. So a friend of a friend was there of Ted's, and he's like, oh, yeah, he'll be like our chaperone, not realizing that we were all on mushrooms. And we're like, we need weed, and he takes us to the Tenderloin District. And it was like middle of the night, raining, and we're just walking the streets, and this guy tried to get some money from us. And we kept saying no. We eventually got the weed, but then this guy got pissed at us, broke a bottle, and like just started waving at us. And Ted just, without missing a beat, just threw the dude. And then he tried to like summon a bunch of help, and it was like other homeless guys who were laughing at him as he was getting thrown.
Right, as he was sliding down the street.
Good. That sounds like a traditional San Francisco day, to be honest.
But after that happened, we felt like we were just untouchable. Yeah.
There was nobody going to stop us at that point. We're sending drinks across bars. Yeah,
we're hitting on girls in front of their boyfriends.
Once COVID settles down, we might have to take a trip, us three, down there and do a podcast live from Lawless Land.
In,
dude, that's funny you say that. I have a good friend from up here. Oh, you've met him. He was the third guy with us years ago at the facility. But he lives in San Francisco now. I'm like, for some reason this morning I was showering. I was like, I got to get down there again. I love that city.
Oh, my God. This was my thing. And going back, tying this into the Hard Knocks, I tell people this all the time. So I was out of football for 2 weeks. Then I eventually signed back with Seattle. Those 2 weeks were nothing shy of incredible. And what I mean by that is it was like an adrenaline rush walking to breakfast in the morning. Like, I'd wake up and be like, all right, Luke, like I would live by myself, and I'd literally be giving myself self-talks like, keep your eyes peeled. You don't know what's going to be outside today, but like, be fluid, be ready to go, man. And it's like you walk out there, it's, you know, 8:30 in the morning and someone's taking a dump in the road. There's a dude shooting up heroin beside you and you're like, oh, here we go. I got to walk to breakfast. It's 10 minutes away. You know, and it was just, I mean, the adrenaline's gone. I'm locked in. I'm like, don't make eye contact with this guy. I don't know what's going on over there. It's, uh-huh. I mean, it was a lot of fun. I'll be honest. I really enjoyed that.
Oh, yeah. There's always random yelling guy, like just screaming about something.
Every morning, the street smelled like something else that was foul. I didn't know if it was a dead animal, human feces. Who knew?
All right. I got another question for you. I know you weren't there very long. But I did. I grew up in D.C. area and then lived in Baltimore for years. I was like, did you get any crab cakes when you were in Baltimore?
I didn't. I didn't.
You're killing me.
So I'll tell you why, Ted. This is a superstition. In the Baltimore situation, I think Baltimore is just bad energy for me. My like second year, I think it was my second year, maybe my third. We went to Baltimore and played in Baltimore. And we actually beat the hell out of them. I think Doug Baldwin scored like two or three touchdowns. It was great. We won by a bunch. But I ate crab cakes. This is 6 years ago. I ate crab cakes for the game. And I played one of the worst football games of my career. And I was like, you know what? It must have been the crab cakes. So since then, I've never eaten crab cakes with regards to anything. If football's even in the near future, I'm like, no, it'll be bad energy for me, man. It's like they've been hexed for me. So when I was in Baltimore, I'm like, bro, I can't touch these crab cakes. Meanwhile, I think just being in the general vicinity of good crab cakes makes me play bad football. Yeah, it wasn't ideal.
So Luke, and I don't know if you are the hope still though to pick up and still do stuff in the NFL, or are you just fully transitioning to doing the rugby stuff and just like what's the plans? Like, do you still have hopes of doing stuff with the Seahawks or with another team, or what's going on in your world?
Yeah, I do, Steve. It's been a weird year. You know, this is the first year I haven't been signed at this point.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, my agent's a great guy, so he tells me that it's completely normal, but it doesn't feel that normal. I feel like it's just like, you know, it's like one of those guys trying to be like, it's okay, buddy, pat me on the back. But it's okay. No one wants you, man. But someday someone will want you. Anyway, I am still trying to play football. Mm-hmm. I feel, you know, pretty healthy. I feel young. I still have the maturity of a 23-year-old, so right. that always helps. But I'm right now, I'm just kind of waiting on a phone call. And, you know, you get all these tidbits that, you know, this team's interested and this team's interested, and it's a waiting game. And, you know, Steve, obviously, Seattle would be the dream, but, I always feel like the majority of the people in the Seahawks building are like very pro me coming back, but there's like evil lurking powers. I don't know who they are yet. I've never been able to quite, they might just be in my head, but, they just don't want me back there, you know?
Huh.
So who knows?
Had to feel good though when you came back and just, I mean, social media just blew up with people losing their minds. Like all the fans that just were like, this is the best thing ever.
Yeah, it was exciting. And like, again, even going back to the HBO thing, I was devastated when I didn't make the Raiders, mm-hmm. but it was like, you know, if you would have told me that week four, I'd be playing for the Seahawks and, you know, then next year re-sign with Seattle, then I, you know, I would have taken that trade. So like in the long run, it was pretty special. And just, I don't know, another strange way when like playing here for 5 years and then leaving for year six and then coming back, like being able to kind of reforge some of those bonds, if you will. Mm-hmm. I don't know. It's kind of like when you leave somebody and you come back, it's like, there's a lot of people in there that I really, I don't want to say took for granted when I was younger, but didn't like appreciate as much as I should have. So I think I did a better job of, you know, creating some of those relationships. I'm getting sappy again, guys. I'm sorry, Matt.
Well, I mean, isn't that like the old saying, the tough part about like the hardest part about being a pro athlete is you die twice, right? Because it's like you get cut from this thing you worked your whole life to do. And then it's like, as an adult, you got to start back over and be like, all right, so what do I do now?
Yeah. And Ted, to be honest, that's been going through my head a bit. Just recently, because I mean, I do, and I know it's, you know, being a little dramatic, but I do think I'll eventually get a call this year. Where it'll be, I'm not sure. But it's like, I've got to kind of come to grips that, you know, this year, you know, if it goes well, maybe next, but like, I'm at the tail end of this thing. Mm-hmm. You know, it's looking pretty bleak right now. And having all this time now, I've just been like, man, like, it's kind of more of a colder reality for me that at some point, like you said, I'm going to like be done. And what the hell am I going to do, man?
Dude, I when you figure it out, let us know too. Cause I get scared even within radio. It's like, you know, I mean, the older we get, granted, we have a way longer shelf life than an athlete, but there comes a point where you get phased out. And then it's like, well, what the hell is my, the older I get, the less skilled I am at anything else. And that's kind of a scary thought. I mean, Ted, I don't know if you think about that in your head. Like, I know I'm not going to be able to retire on this job. I hope I will, but I'm pretty sure it's not going to happen. So that's why AMC needs to pick up the pace and get to 100,000.
I was just about to say that. Migs, I was just about to say that.
I mean, dude, the last full-time job I had before radio, I was a janitor. Like, right. Is that my fallback?
I was flipping burgers.
Yeah.
Yeah, guys, trust me. If there's someone who's resonating with now, the other thing that's like a bit scary for me, just being honest, mm-hmm. is, you know, I like to party, you know, and, I mean, who doesn't, right?
Right. But well, yeah, I mean,
not me.
It's like, I've never really been on it, and people think that you guys are gonna laugh, but I'm really, especially the last 5 or 6 years, I would consider myself a very below average partier. Cause I've always been like, hey man, I got to train. Like, it's not worth it. So yeah, I'll pick and choose a night here and there, but it's never been a consistent like party vibe.
No, and, we tried for years to get you to go to Spokane with us for our hockey tournaments, and you were always taking the high road, man.
Yeah, I'm sorry, Migs. But now it's like, if there's no, you know, reason to be in peak performance mode, I got a feeling I might go on just a year long bender. I mean, why not?
Right. Well, for a lot of,
right?
For a lot of people,
the best memories.
Yeah, for a lot of people, that's like 24, 25. But you were playing in the league.
21.
Yeah, yeah, so I'm like I said, my maturity's still at 23 here, boys. I'm ready for a year-long bender when this thing's over. And just, you know, all these serious feelings about having to move on and figure out my life, just, you know, prolong them for a full year by being immature.
Yeah.
I think that's a great idea.
It's a great idea. And trust me, spend at least 2 months of that here. Because, yes. I mean, every time we even mention your name, social media blows up. People love you in this town, dude.
Yeah.
I love this town, man. I think I'm going to move here.
I was going to say,
unfortunately,
I feel like you could,
I don't know how,
for free.
Maybe here's another thing with Seattle, guys. Maybe you guys can help me out. Who are the people that are buying these homes? Like,
right?
Who are they?
I think they're,
who feels comfortable enough to get to spend $2 million on a 1,500 square foot condo? Okay. I'm like, dude, these people are nuts. They must have a money tree in their backyard or something.
It's the dot-comers, man. Amazon.
I
had a few friends that worked at Amazon, and they had, basically a studio apartment, and it was like a million dollar studio apartment. And I'm just like, this is ridiculous. Like, I'm in Puyallup, and I've got five times the size of your house for more than half the cost, half less.
Yes.
Yeah. Well, some of
Amazon. That's really the only bone I have to pick with Seattle, man. Other than that, I love this place, but I'm just like, dude, I'm going to be renting my whole life. I'm too cheap.
Yeah.
Unless AMC goes to the moon, of course, Migs. If it goes to the moon, then we're going to buy it. We're going to buy a condo building then. You know what I'm saying?
I've already told my boys that I'm getting a giant ape riding a rocket to the moon tattoo if this happens. While holding love crayons that. With each of their names written into the crayons. I'm like, I'll do it. I don't care. Bunch of crayon love eaters that we are. All right, well, I mean,
yeah.
I know, Ted, you got to get going for your show.
I got to do my actual job.
I feel bad that we kept you as long as we have, and it sucks that we couldn't do this in studio.
Okay, I don't know. Let me know, guys, because believe it or not, I live 6 minutes away from your studio right now, maybe less.
Okay.
So if you guys ever opened up, if the powers that be, I'd love to come by, jump in there, man.
Well, June 30th, isn't that when everything's supposed to open back up again?
That's what the rumor is.
That's what they say, whoever they are. Yeah. Dude, as soon as they open back up, let's get you back here and we'll do one of our maybe podcast dinner experiences that we've done before.
Love that. Appreciate you guys having me on.
Dude, it's so good to catch up with you. We miss you.
Yeah, miss you too, guys. We'll see each other soon.
And if not, we'll go to San Francisco and live some lawless activities.
No question. No question.
All right, my man. Take care.
Peace.
All right. See you, brother.
Bye-bye. So that was awesome.
Yeah. There we go.
I mean,
I don't know what we expected, but it's what you get.
I mean, we went from like random Bitcoin conversations to an incredible chat about just life after football, possibly.
Yeah.
That was a blast. Thanks to Luke Wilson, as always, for joining us on the MegaCast. I do look forward to the time we can do it in studio. It's weird with the Zoom delay.
It is, but I love that guy.
He's such a good dude.
Yeah, I mean, I hate to be one of those two. He's just got a good soul.
Yeah, yeah.
You know what I mean?
Good energy. Yeah. Like, you can just tell there's no phoniness to that dude.
I'm going to send him a DM when I'm in Baltimore eating crab cakes.
Picture of it, too.
Yeah, but I don't want to jinx him.
Oh, yeah. Wait till he's fully done with football. So maybe a couple of years.
Hopefully 3 years.
Come on, Seahawks. Figure out a way. Let's keep him in Seattle.
We got to go to a Seawolves game.
I'm in.
Yeah.
Let's do that for sure. We'll reach out to him. We'll figure out if there's a time where he's going to be there.
Yeah, man.
All right. You can follow us on Twitter at the MegaCast. And I think we're back next week.
I'll be here.
I'll be here, too.
All right. Let's plan on it, Steve.
Sweet.